Hope you're liking our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. I'd like you to become our Employee of the Month. I'll even hook you up with a $100 Visa gift card for being the Office Horror Stories Employee of the Month. Huh? That beats any parking spot or having your name on a crappy little plaque down a hall that nobody walks through, huh? For your chance to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month, all you have to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Then, shoot me an email with a screenshot. It's that easy. You're entered to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month. So, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, leave your review of Office Horror Stories, then email that to me. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, T-O-N-Y, at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and you're entered. Once a month, we'll pick a brand new Employee of the Month, give them a $100 Visa gift card, and you, by leaving that review, help spread the word that this show exists. As many employers like to say, it's a win-win, huh? Leave that review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Send me the proof, and you are entered. Go ahead, go get it done right now. Thank you for the support, and we'll let you know. What do you do when you start getting crazy letters at work? Do you ignore them, post them on the bulletin board, or call the cops? That's what we hear about today as one person deciphers what to do with these crazy letters on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That it is, 833-HATE-JOB. That's our phone number. Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com to share your office horror story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it. Tony and Sean joining you on today's episode of Office Horror Stories. And how's your world today, Sean?
I'm employed in the radio world. When we're recording this about 24 hours ago, large broadcasting corporation laid off about a third of their on-air folks. And you and me talked before we started recording. It's a shitty world for some today.
It is. I can't say super surprising, but it is. And it's one of those things. I don't know. I mean, it is the world of radio and all of that has gone and changed dramatically in many years. There's very few personality things left on the air. There's some morning shows that are still out there. But aside from that, there's not a lot on traditional FM radio that you're going to, that's any reason to listen to over Pandora or a podcast. And it's really that industry's fault for letting it get that way, for encouraging less personalities and things like that. And now it's just kind of on the imploding dock, it seems, in many cases.
And if you're tuning in and you really have no experience in radio or in the broadcasting world like Tony and I, compare it to your industry. Obviously, everything, there's evolution, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a doctor, whether you do construction, any and every industry evolves. It's just in the broadcasting world, you get into it because you have that passion, you have that creativity, you have that, what the fuck should that guy be on? Hey, go into radio. And it has so much turned into other industries, so corporate, so vanilla. And you know what? The broadcast, the entertainment world, when that becomes corporate and vanilla, well, it sucks.
Yeah.
And then it makes no money. And then, well, look at that. Everybody gets shit canned because we're not making enough revenue because we're way too boring and vanilla and nobody tunes in.
I'm really interested to see what the world of FM radio is going to be like in 15 years from now, I would say. Because, I mean, these people, I think, are really going to, as they already are, podcasting growing by leaps and bounds every single year. A lot of advertising dollars that used to be spent over there now going in this direction. And as our listeners, that's why it all shifts. But there's these signals, there's these sticks that are out in fields in around surrounded by corn, and everyone has these devices in their homes and they use them still to a certain extent. But it's just kind of, it's nowhere near what it used to be. If I really want to tune in for this or that, it's still kind of there. I wonder if, and here's where I think it should go, is they should take the content that is basically being used on podcasting and reformat music stations and just make them all talk, but make them talk on topics of interest to people. Kind of like how Sirius has done it, but do it better because they haven't done it that well in terms of specific interests. And I think you could really have some interesting stations that people would listen to. You could have a station that now currently plays, I don't know what's in top 40 anymore, but the ones that would have played Celine Dion and Michael Bublé 10 years ago, have a station that is focused on female talk, because that's a station that would focus on that audience. Focus it there. I think I'm just interested to see how that industry reinvents itself, if it does at all, or if this is just kind of the end of it. The FCC is going to say, nah, we're going to turn these signals into more cell towers, and it's done, and everything is now just going to be completely, online, digital, and downloaded. I don't know.
What's going to come down to it is there's going to be a lot of momentum, a lot of excitement, to your point, but then it's going to have to be cleared by somebody who doesn't have that thought, that is holding on to 1976 radio, and by golly, we're going to do this, and we're going to play these amount of songs an hour, and you're going to like it because you've liked it for the last 40 years. And sadly, they're probably never going to lose their job, but they're going to be stuck in the past. And we welcome all of you to continue to listen to more and more podcasts and less commercial radio.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be doing this. It's fun. It's like it was when radio was fun.
I feel like I'm 10 and a half years old because I can say, fuck.
Yeah, and you could never do that. You get fined dramatically if you did on radio. 833-HEY-JOB is our number, or you can write in at officehorrorstories.com to share your office horror stories with us. Let's go to our first one today. It says, I worked as a news writer for a daily newspaper in Kansas for about 5 years until I left last year. For some reason, I was the only reporter on staff of five writers who seemed to attract some colorful individuals who reached out for me and for story ideas. Some of those story suggestions from the public I just couldn't follow up upon. The city I worked in was close to a military installation, so news about soldiers was rather common for the paper. One such story for the second year I worked there involved a soldier posting a video on YouTube asking actress Emma Watson to attend a military police ball with him. My coworker wrote about it, and I shared the published online story on my work Twitter, as I did with pretty much all of our stories. Several weeks later, I had a message on my work voicemail. The caller spoke too quickly and was a bit slurred, but I could make out that he was calling about a soldier and Emma Watson. I also understood the number he gave me to call him back on. The number had an Illinois area code, so I assumed he must be a soldier, thinking there was something further to report about this small story. I called the guy back, and at the time, before Emma Watson was self-partnered, she was dating a rugby player who went to Oxford. The guy answered, and when I told him who I was, he started telling me Emma Watson's then-boyfriend was plotting to assassinate someone prominent, blow up a prominent building, and was a terrorist on top of all of that. He also said he reached out to the FBI as well as NBC, Fox, and CNN. Dumbfounded, I asked, how do you know all this? I didn't know what else to say. He said something, but didn't articulate his words, so I couldn't understand. Wow. He reached out to a small Kansas newspaper I worked at, too. I thanked him for including our paper with these major news networks. He sounded like he was young, so I told him without laughing that those are very serious accusations and that it wasn't a local story, and something like that would need absolute undeniable proof to be reported on. I didn't have the slightest intention to report on this weirdness, but as he sounded young, I wanted to throw in some educational comments on news reporting. I hung up and told my editor what just happened. I looked up his phone number and found it belonged to a very young teenage boy in Illinois. I found his resume online, as well as his YouTube channel, full of videos with him singing to images of Emma Watson superimposed on the screen. He also had videos of himself spreading the same claims about her then-boyfriend, which he just shared with me on the phone. He also had several Twitter accounts and dedicated to his creepy love of Emma Watson, with pictures of himself alongside Photoshop images of Emma. This kid was beyond creepily obsessed. As soon as the call ended, he sent an email to my work address with those same claims along with pictures of her boyfriend. I emailed him back, which was a stupid mistake, saying I wouldn't report on this and to not reach out to me again. He responded with an email filled with a lot of profanity and claims I wasn't doing my job. I gathered he saw my Twitter post about that story of a soldier asking Emma Watson to that MP bowl. I had hashtagged Emma Watson, so he must have stumbled upon it. My work Twitter profile had my actual name, newspaper name, and my position on the news staff. It also had my invitation to locals with story ideas to call me. I listed my work number and extension on there, too. I deleted the number off Twitter soon after this incident. The story doesn't end there. That night, after the office closed, I received about 20-plus calls in my work voicemail from different callers in the New York and New Jersey area claiming they saw an ad on Craigslist for an oven and other kitchen appliances. The calls came one right after the other, starting at around 8 p.m. Central Time. 8 p.m. to 8:01 p.m., 8:02 p.m., 8:03 p.m., etc. Remember, I'm in Kansas, and all these calls were all coming from the East Coast 2 hours ahead. The same calls came all day the next day. All callers inquiring if I had these kitchen appliances for sale. What's funny is that all these callers would have to dial my phone's extension to get to my voicemail to get directly to me, bypassing the receptionist. I don't know if Emma Fanboy was responsible for this joke, but having started the same day, it seems too coincidental to not have been him. I told as many callers as I could that they just called a Kansas newspaper and they had nothing for sale. I tried to find the ad on Craigslist, but couldn't find it. As far as the original news story, unfortunately, Emma Watson did not attend the MP Bowl with that soldier. As far as a fanboy goes, I understand why Emma Watson decided to become self-partnered. Thank you. There you go. Craziness of someone reaching out to a public figure and wanting to spread it. And I mean, it, in all reality here, we're probably dealing with someone with a mental illness that is essentially having access to public communications.
I didn't know my cousin had a cell phone. I think it's, and I mean, this is a whole nother discussion for a whole nother time, but really with the advent of social media and the shock and awe and, oh my gosh, did you see this? Well, oh my gosh, did you see this? It goes back to the whole gossip and such. The truth is always boring. When you combine that with mental illness, and I mean, I can't speak for you, but I know that I'm for the most part all good, but there's, everybody has their things, whether it's OCD, whether it's ADD, whether it's ELMA, whatever it is, varying levels. Sure. But when you have the combination of somebody that is truly in need of some type of help that A, can't afford it, B, doesn't know where to go, or C, a combination of both. And now you, over the last 5, 10 years, 2 years, 6 months of everything is that much more heightened, and everybody has their outlet via Twitter, via Craigslist, Facebook, all the socials, that stuff like this, when someone gets asphyxiated, addicted, whatever you want to call it, this gal, I mean, that is a scary situation, and you have to almost self-police. Okay, is this just somebody that is really bored? Or is this literally something that I have to watch out for my safety? And I mean, as for security walking to my car, that's a slippery slope.
It is. And you never really know just how far out there some of these people are when it comes to things like this. Sometimes it is very self-contained, and it literally is somebody that's in the bedroom at their parents' house making YouTube videos, and that's where it ends. And they have access to a phone. Sometimes, you know, these folks have far more access than that. They drive cars. They live amongst us. And they are delusional, and there's nothing you're going to say or do aside a court order that will keep them from stalking their prey. I mean, there's creepy guys out there. There's creepy women out there, too. But there's a whole other level of creepiness where the individual is believing the fallacy. And it's not just, I really like this person a lot. They're believing things like this where Emma Watson's boyfriend's going to attack something. I remember I had dealt with one like that years ago. It was an individual who was borderline stalking a female employee on a radio station. And this was before Twitter. This was before Facebook. It was just email and phone calls. The problem with the situation was when you give into these people and give them an inch of satisfaction of showing that maybe you are interested in them, even though you're not, but you're just being friendly. You're being cordial at the very least. That feeds into it. And if you continue to entertain the communications, it feeds into it. And this individual who was being stalked continued to answer the phone calls that this person was giving them, calling the person back sometimes, responding to the emails and being very chatty, not just kind of like, hey, I'm busy, or, you know, ignoring altogether, which could have been an option. It was really, you know, somewhat, I guess, unintentionally encouraged. And a person who's not in their right mind is going to view that as, oh, they're really interested too. And it got to the point where this person was very upset that the other individual had a boyfriend. And this individual was telling him that. And the communications continued, and the emails, the crazy emails coming in, were getting more and more basically threats of violence against the boyfriend, and that I know you love me and we should be together and blah, blah, blah. And then she finally said, okay, this has to stop. And that's where I got to pick up on all the messages and say, oh, holy shit. And I like, why didn't you just say stop a long time ago? But sometimes hindsight is 20/20 on these things. Ended up in court with a restraining order against this individual. And they were not right in the mind. You just knew it. And he was trying to argue his case in front of a judge. And I mean, the thing is, a restraining order, in all reality, it is a piece of paper. It is not a man with a gun standing next to you at all times. It says this person shouldn't come by you. They can't come by you. Otherwise, there will be consequences. But sometimes the consequences of that crazy person are going to have already, you know, come to fruition before the consequences of that paper can meet it. And luckily, nothing happened, but that individual then wanted to point his aggression at me because I was the boss and I was the one who was there as a witness to all of this. And he knew that I'm the one, or in his mind, encouraged and said, you need to get a restraining order against this individual. And then he started kind of going after me with letters and all that. He never followed me, or as far as I know, but it was a scary situation. It was when you're dealing with people like that, it's scary. And you watch your back for a while because you don't know what the hell they are capable of, especially when they're extremely delusional.
At minimum, it's a game. And by you contacting or responding or saying stop continuously, they have won. At most, it's essentially phishing, and if they do get a response, it recharges them more and more to continue. So situations like this and stories like this, as much as we cannot control, person could be in the RAV4 next to us at the red light.
Yeah.
Kind of good to go back to when you were growing up, or if you weren't taught as a child, an adult, it's a pretty simplistic checklist. Your private information is private, and clearly, more than ever, even our private information somehow becomes public, but don't have, short of your professional phone numbers, don't have your personal information out there.
Yeah.
And should anybody start to communicate with you professionally, just ignore it. Just ignore it. Ignore it. Distance yourself as much as you can.
And that's really the best recipe right there. The best advice is ignore it if you ever get it. And in the way that everyone to a certain extent can be a public figure now with social media, depending on how many followers and how aggressive you want to be at getting followers. You know, I'm honestly, that's one thing before social media, we would see it being in the public eye. We would see a lot of the crazy come out more than others because we essentially were the only people with our, you know, we had our Facebook page out there without Facebook. We were public and then people would contact. So we got to see kind of not the best parts of the society out there sometimes. You'd see.
And working in TV or radio in every city across the country. We're not talking about New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, where you are around 6+ millions of people. You could be in central Illinois. You could be in middle Kansas. You could be in Northeast Ohio, mm-hmm. where you are. You are the bee's knees. I listen to you every single morning. Oh, you're going to be at Miller Toyota this Saturday morning? I'm going to be there, and I'm going to make my homemade chocolate chip balls just in time for Christmas. And if you don't eat it right in front of me when I give it to you in my own little plastic bag, it's going to be really fucking awkward. I'm going to follow you, and I know you have a Chevy Cavalier. You have personalized license plates. You're originally from Wisconsin. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Those people were just a little bit maybe bored. But the thing of it is, and sometimes maybe jealous is the word of celebrities, and they make millions of dollars and they do this, that, or the other. How many times do you hear a stalking case or celebrities having to pay millions of dollars because there was randomly some guy was in Taylor Swift's bushes for the fourth time? So you making maybe not $1 million and maybe not being a celebrity or having 3 million Instagram followers, hey, guess what? You also don't have a guy in your bushes when you come home to your apartment.
And what I'm surprised by is, as social media started, I was really thinking this is going to be a recipe for stalkers everywhere. And to a certain...
Confirmed.
Well, the thing is, and to a certain extent, you know, there is an element of that. But honestly, it's far... and someone who's being stalked is going to completely disagree with me. But I honestly thought it was going to be much more out of control than it actually is today. I thought the way that everybody puts every aspect of their personality out there on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, that there would be a lot more creepiness to it, or there'd be a lot more just really creep behavior and stalking type behavior going on. I don't feel that it's anywhere near the level I thought it was going to be at. Which is a good thing, although maybe it's just everybody can now stalk each other from afar, and that's feeding whatever needs to be fed, and then the crazy stops, and they don't actually have to follow the person in their car anymore outside of the Pomida. But I don't know. I'm just really kind of surprised that it hasn't gotten more out of control than it has. And I know there's plenty of cases where it's not good.
Pomida. And that's what it truly, I think... polices itself.
Yeah.
There are so many people that would be shy or shy away from conflict, but online they're behind the keyboard or they're behind, their profile, and they can just, take that, huh? I'm going to write this and I'm going to write up your newsfeed and I'm going to say this, that, or the other. And that allows them to get that, look at me, big, bad, tough guy or gal. And I'm going to do a bad comment, where in real life, they would have their hands in their pocket and they would walk with their head down back to their car. So it allows them to not start what I'm actually going to do to you and be creepy online. And then I'm actually going to come over to your house. It will start and end online by attacking you through social media.
Yeah, I think in a lot of cases, that's what it does, which is interesting. It's something I don't think a lot of us foresaw. 833-HATE-JOB. 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror story with us. Let's go to another letter. It says, this happened about 8 or so years ago. I no longer work for the company. I work for a large movie theater chain, almost 4 years between the ages of 15 and 19, and had many experiences that left you or would leave you wondering what was going on inside a person's mind. The manager that hired me didn't seem to mind that I was 15 when she hired me, when the legal working age for the company was 16. One of the managers would take money from cash drawers that he was counting at the end of his shift, keep the money for himself, and then blame it on the cashier. The scheduling manager would severely reduce the number of shifts someone would get if that person was up for a raise to get them to quit. Managers would promote unqualified staff over more qualified individuals due to friendships or who they were currently sleeping with. The floor and the main concession stands were always very slippery, making them dangerous. One of the people that I worked with was 9 months pregnant and was extremely scared of getting hurt and something happening to her baby before she went on maternity leave. She fell one day. The management didn't seem to care if there was anything wrong with her or her unborn baby. There was one day I wasn't feeling so well and had a rash forming on my side from my uniform being constantly wet from getting drinks in the concession stand. I'm rather short, so my shirt would get wet every time I worked behind the concession stand from spilled soda on the counter. They'd not let me go home early, even though I was running a slight fever and had just sent me to work in a different part of the theater that was away from the food. I'd constantly be scheduled to close on the weekends, even as a minor, which could be anywhere from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. The following story takes the cake, though. One of the people I worked with just snapped one day and went on a shooting spree. He shot three police officers from his apartment window, killing one or two and wounding the others before killing himself. The people that had worked with him and even his own mother didn't think that he could commit such a crime. It was horrible. So there you go. Lovely. That's how it ends. That's the work environment. You never really know who you're working with. I guess that's the lesson in that story.
So that whole thing about how people get enraged, it starts online and it ends online.
Not so true in that one.
We'll go with an asterisk.
Yeah.
It, you know, again, this is a very, episode is a lot about keeping it simple and kind of going back to child and that checklist. Here's the thing. If you're going to a job every single day that you despise and you can feel yourself getting a little ornery, like, I don't know, going to go into a Claire's and light up the joint with a gun that you've never shot in your life. Maybe, just maybe quit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go out to the mountains, go run a marathon, do whatever you do. Go game for hours upon end. You're a big gamer. Okay. Super Mario Kart for the weekend. Do what you need to do to get back to your place that you were before you even had that thought of doing that.
Yeah.
And even if it is at the cost of, holy fuck, how am I going to pay rent? Because I have these four jobs, which makes me go crazy, but I can afford to live in my what have you. Guess what? You will then have a whole different type of crazy of not being able to afford where you live. That hopefully is not to the level of wanting to go shoot someone.
What do you do? I mean, nowadays, it's an interesting thing where you have all these coworkers and sometimes, I shouldn't say nowadays, this has always been a thing. You have the coworker that just seems off. And I think almost every workplace, if you said to them, okay, who do you think is the guy who's going to come in here with a gun someday? Everybody could pick one person out of their workplace and say, it's that guy over there. Now, that's not a good thing. That's not a great thing to, you want the answer to be, oh, no one would do that. You don't want to have to feel that way about a coworker. And it's not that you're just identifying someone to identify someone. There's been many cases where you feel that way about a coworker. You're like, there's something wrong. But there's very little anyone can do about that. You can't just fire the person on a feeling, on an assumption, unless they actually go and say something. If a threat is made, that's a different ballgame. But quite often, it always has to ramp up all the way to the level of threat. Now, I don't know what the solution is to this, and it all comes down to you can't impede on someone's rights and freedom on a feeling because of how they portray themselves or act without being direct in what their intentions are. But what do you do? Because this is such a prevalent thing where quite often you do hear the story of the workplace getting shot up or something, and everybody's like, yeah, you know, I'm not surprised it was that guy. You know, see something, say something doesn't go that far when there's no evidence. How is it? Is it the mental health system that's completely broken that people can't get help? Because people have to choose to get help too. And most of these are not going to make that choice unless forced. There's not a lot that can be done to force people to get mental help when they need it. There's very little to anything that can be done to force someone to get mental help in most cases.
And really what it comes down to, have all of these examples of bringing what is broken up. I don't have answers of how to fix it.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's, well, we're doing this wrong and let's do this right. I have lots of examples to bring up what can be done, and the stories of, for just as many, oh, he was very quiet and to himself and it's not surprising. You also see stories of, he was lovely and went to church and was great and then just had a bad day because he walked in on his wife doing stuff with the gardener.
Mm-hmm.
And all points in between. Don't have answers of how to fix it. Sadly, could cross the street today, get hit by a bus. It's just you in your own little bubble. Whether you're going for a walk and you see a stranger, whether you hold the door for somebody, whether you give a waitress who has three jobs a little bit bigger tip, just be kind to everybody that you come in. And in my opinion, that's the only thing you can do. Anybody you come in contact with on a daily basis, or if you're just an asshole, maybe for 20 minutes, whoever you see, don't be a dick. Mm-hmm. And maybe, just maybe, that then person who's going through shit doesn't go into a place and light it up, on an extreme example. Or guess what? They were so enlightened by your not assholishness, they're not as mean to Ruby over at, there you go. And it becomes contagious. But yeah. It is what it is. And sadly, in this world that we are so tethered to our phones, and again, we can get the same endorphins and range of emotions that not 5 years ago required human contact. You can pretty much go a life right now and get the same feelings that you would get from somebody waving at you, somebody laughing at a joke through emojis on your texting.
Yeah, that's very true. I was just thinking back to...
it's a really happy show today. Really happy stories, and we're not deep at all. Coming up on Dr. Phil, but first, your 8-day forecast.
Well, our next story starts talking about pizza and beer, so let's jump into that. It says, I work at a pizza and beer restaurant, and for the most part, I love it. A lot of our regulars are wonderful, and I love my coworkers. We have a rewards program set up, and you can win things when you complete our tour, meaning you drink a certain amount of beer, eat a certain amount of special food items. Yesterday, it was just me and one other server in the cocktail room. In there, we're open seating. I started getting sat back to back. Cool. Okay. I'm get things going. And I finally get to my last table. He sat there for about a minute and a minute and a half before I got to him. I go over, greet him, and he immediately asks if his shirt is in from completing his tour. Sometimes we run out and we need to order them, get them shipped. I start to ask him if he got the email confirming that it got sent to our site, when he starts freaking out saying, this is complete bullshit. Fuck you, you stupid bitch. And go grabs the manager. I go grab the manager and she speaks to him and it gets him his sweater. I asked her if I still had to take care of him after what he said to me. And she said, if he says one more thing, I can refuse service. I bring him his beer and ask him if he's ready to order. He tells me I'm a dumb bitch. And I calmly told him that I'm refusing service and won't take care of him. He gets up and moves to the other server section. I go on about my day and ignore him and try to avoid his table. I was bussing one of my tables and walked by him. He leans into me and says, if you were my child, I would have killed you at birth. I was shocked, but didn't say anything. I walked away and told my manager. She rolled her eyes at me and didn't deal with the situation. I told the other cocktail waitresses what happened, and he went and asked him to confirm that that's what he said. She, as soon as he asked him, he asked for his bill, didn't tip, and then he left. At the end of my day, my manager had me write a letter to HR explaining the situation, hoping he gets 86 from the restaurant, but we'll see. Well, that's quite an extreme thing to say to your server who you don't like, is I would have killed you at birth.
You know what? I'll just take the dollar tip. You can keep your verbal comments to yourself. I'll take the shitty tip. That'll wake you up when you're pulling a double. You know, if I was your dad, I would have killed you after you were born.
That's like, okay. It's so horrible. It's like one of the worst things you could say to someone. My God. I can just picture this.
As much as it is a reflection of how despair and how distraught that gentleman's life is, you got to wear it for the rest of your workday.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if someone is that out there and that distraught that they're going to say that to somebody. What sort of shit's going on behind the scenes with that person?
What I thought was most interesting in that story, short of Satan giving the words of wisdom to the waitress, is that you get a sweater when you finish the beer tour. I know of a place you get a plate. You get a plate for you to take home, and then you get a plate. You put your name and your hometown on it, and then they put it up on the wall, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense because it's a beer tour, and you get a plate to signify that you've had all of the beers.
I don't know. I've never completed one of those tours,
You did, what's the first thing that you would whisper to a waitress when she walked by?
I would have killed you at birth, naturally. That's the okay. That's a logical thing to do. Like, I did this, bitch. I would have killed you at birth. I'll take another.
Give me my damn sweater.
Yeah. That's my God. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror story with us. And now. Overdramatic review. All right. Since we're kind of the world of restaurants, this is a restaurant overdramatic review. It says, here we go. This was one of those times I'd in Chelk the Yelp rating until after I arrived at the restaurant. With a 2-star rating and 35 reviews, I would never have eaten here had I checked before. But alas, there I was, already sitting at the bar, sipping on my draft as I read the terrible reviews. So my experience was as follows. I had a 6-ounce filet, medium rare, and the unlimited shrimp garlic sautéed. The sides, a small Caesar salad with a fully loaded baked potato. Cost $26.99. Beer, $4 each. The meal took a long time to come out. I'd say the restaurant was operating around 40% capacity when I sat down, and it took a good hour for my steak to come out. The salad arrived about 30 minutes into my venture. I was not in a hurry and enjoyed a few beers up at the bar, but understand some of the reviews where people were upset with the long wait times. If my kids had been with me, an hour wait would have been no bueno. Food analysis. Steak. Very good. Surprisingly good for a chain restaurant. It was perfectly cooked, very tender and thick. Possibly one of the best steaks I've ever had at this steakhouse. But of course, still nowhere near the quality of a premium steakhouse. Shrimp? Utterly horrendous. Tiny. Obviously frozen at some point. These were more like large grains of rice than they were shrimp. And they were smothered in a super salty garlic butter paste. Yuck. I guess they pull the cheap garbage out if there's a chance that someone will take advantage of the unlimited offer. I had one serving and decided the unlimited option was not for me. Wish it had been unlimited filet. Instead, wink. Loaded baked potato? Okay. Baked potato with butter, cheese, sour cream, and bacon bits is nearly impossible to mess up. Small Caesar salad. Way too much dressing. Let me clarify, the lettuce was drowning in dressing. 3-to-1 ratio of dressing to other items in the salad. A dulge of dressing. Caesar soup would have been a better, more appropriate description on the menu. Outside of the food, the service was great. The bartender was pleasant and attentive. Since she was obviously not responsible for the poor quality coming out of the kitchen, I made sure to leave a 20% tip. The bathroom was similar to one of the reviews I read, saying that it was worse than the bathrooms at most truck stops. Truck stops, bathrooms have come a long ways in recent years, but still. Anyway, my visit to the loo wasn't pleasant. The toilet area was gross and the sink had old food in it. Come on! Bottom line, the filet was very good, but not good enough for me to ignore the other terrible aspects of this restaurant. Management needs to make changes. Now, there you go. That is today's
Overdramatic Review.
There you go. Ooh. Yeah.
So Caesar soup.
Caesar soup. Never heard of that one before.
You ever get the salad and then you drown it in the dressing?
Yeah, I like dressing. I don't try to overdo it too much, but do you like half the bottle or what do you do?
No, it's interesting because, could I get a salad, but yeah. could I get 2 sides of ranch?
Yeah.
But I'm a salad. Could I get a number 4 with a diet Sprite?
I do that. I do the diet Sprite thing. It makes little to no sense. I've been, since the year began, I'm actually eating extremely healthy. I've lost about 9 pounds so far.
Ew!
I've noticed I've cut out fast food. We go out to eat once a week. We have this kind of program that we're doing. And we pick good options, but we still go out once a week and make sure we're not eating something crazy. But that is something I've been more attuned to, is seeing the salad calorie counts at most restaurants. Holy shit, they're just as bad for you as most menu items.
Not worse.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing. For years, the calorie count wasn't on anything. Thank God it is now, because you'd be thinking, oh, this is going to be 300 calories. Nope, it's 1,200. Like, what the fuck did you put it? Like, is a lettuce like laced in Crisco? Like, what the fuck is going on with this salad? Because some of them don't even have that much shit on them. So anyway,
they spray it with a kind of a Crisco spray on the iceberg lettuce. That's how it's so shiny.
That's what I wonder. Sometimes, like, I don't know how you possibly could cram that many calories into this stuff. Another thing I discovered recently at the hibachi restaurant is Yum Yum Sauce. Have you heard of Yum Yum Sauce?
And the question really is, Yum Yum, can you dip in the Yum Yum after you've already taken a bite?
If it's your individual Yum Yum Sauce, yes, double dip all you want. But if it's a community Yum Yum, no, you can't do that.
But, and do you combine Yum Yum with another sauce? So it's Yum Yum Soy, Yum Yum, Yum Yum, Yum Yum Soy, Soy, Yum Yum, Yum Yum.
Yeah, you could do any combination you wanted. But I've seen it now in grocery stores as well as a condiment that you can purchase. So it's becoming popular. And I looked at the calorie count on that shit, and I have no idea how they pack that many calories into one tablespoon. It's worse than butter. It's worse than like pure fat. Like, what the fuck are you putting in this that makes this worse than pure fat? I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you achieve that. But it's a magic. Maybe that's why it's so delicious. It's a wonder of the food science industry. They've created something worse for you than fat, and they've named it Yum Yum.
I am I'm big into the sweet world, sweets, and you can make cookies. Okay, you make cookies. You got flour, butter, eggs, chocolate chips. You go to the store. It's like 37 ingredients in the bakery package of chocolate chips. The fuck?
Yeah, that's what it is. And add a little bit of Yum Yum, and you got a good cookie right there. And
next,
it's delicious. That wraps up today's episode of Office Horror Stories. Share your office horror story with us at officehorrorstories.com or 833-HATE-JOB. Call it in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.